Good morning and welcome. And welcome to Asbury Methodist Church. We would like everyone, members and visitors alike, to fill out the registration pads that are at the end of the pew or the aisle and then return them to the aisle. And while you do that, I have a few announcements to make. Our 75 days of prayers continues. Prayers have been written by the pastors and the staff at Asbury for the whole church to connect with one another to God in prayer. You are encouraged to pray along with us each day through Good Friday. You may download a copy from the church's website, asbury-lr.org, or pick it up in the church today. Continuing at 6 p.m., the Emmanuel study in the Emmanuel Sunday School room on the first floor, Reverend Chase is continuing his study on the Gospel of John. Food and drink will be provided. Today is apartment outreach. If you'd like to help hand out gift bags, we hope that you'll join us. We ask that you would meet at the west entrance of the church at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Now I invite you to pass the peace of Christ. First hymn this morning, the hymn of praise, is "In the Cross of Christ I Glory," 295 in your hymnal. Will you please stand? Please join in the affirmation of faith. It's on page 888 in your hymnal. It's from 1 Corinthians. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the apostles, then to the
faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus Christ,
the anointed one of God, the firstborn of creation, the firstborn of the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was revealed by the Spirit. Christ is the head of the church,
Good morning. Good morning. Okay, good. Whew. I was worried for a minute. So how many of y'all have heard the expression, I'd have to see it to believe it? Have you? Let's say that Miss Jenny can tell me or show us that she can do like two backflips or two back Randolph. Okay, ready? But we would have to say, yeah, I'd have to see it to believe it, right? Because there's a lot of times when we're like, yeah, really, you can't do that. But you have to see it to believe it. Well, the question I have for you, another question is, what are some things that we cannot see, but we know is true?
Jesus.
Okay. And what about, right? And what about, like, the wind blowing? How do we know that the wind is blowing?
Because you're using the fan.
Because I'm using the fan? Okay. What about the leaves? Like the leaves on the ground. We know that the wind blows. We can't see it, but what are happening to the leaves?
The leaves are blowing.
The leaves are blowing. What about sounds? Like, for instance, we know when we hear a sound, like the sound waves. We can't see the sound waves, but when we hear a noise, we know what it is, right? And like with Jesus, how do we know? We can't see him. We have pictures of him. But how do we see the true Jesus? How?
To go to heaven.
To go to heaven. Maybe it's in a hug of someone. Maybe it's in the love or the pat of someone. Maybe it's a person who gets happier and maybe kinder. Just kind of like our parents. How do we know? We don't see our parents' love, but how do we know that they love us? They give us what? What?
Hugs.
They give us hugs, and what else do they give us?
Kisses.
Hugs and kisses. That's right. So what I want to leave with you today is that there's a lot of things that we can't see, but we know. But especially the best part is we know that Jesus loves us because of the way that he gives us everything, right? He gives us blessings every day. So remember that. We may not be able to see it, but we know we believe it, right? So let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for being alive and being here with us. And thank you for helping us to believe that you will always be with us. Amen.
Please review the prayer list that's in your bulletin and remember those individuals' concerns as you pray this week. Would also like to add a few things to that. John Ford and family in the death of his mother, Evelyn Ford, Bob Wilson, and Mary has a message for us. Thank you for all the prayers and gestures of care. Pathology report is good, and she will be back on Sunday, next Sunday, the 2nd. You know, I'm reading my page date down here as though it were February the 4th. I'm sorry. Let us pray. Holy Father, even though we have experienced so much rain and days of cloudy skies, we gather here to feel the warmth of your Spirit within us. We gather to experience your love and grace in new ways, to celebrate you in our lives and become energized to go and serve. If our hearts feel empty, fill them with peace. If our minds are drained, fill them with wisdom and discernment. If our souls feel dried up, pour within us the strength we need to flourish. For we find fulfillment not in fame, money, or power, but in you and in you alone. May we turn and create laughter, joy, and peace in the lives of those around us and in the world we live in. For our task is not only to follow you, but to lead others to you as well. Give us the courage to reach out in faith and encourage, share, and give of ourselves to people who need you. Now we pray the prayer of our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Our mission for this last few weeks has been Give If You Can, and that's for the Lenten mission. Today we were asked to bring rice, pasta, or beans, and for next week, which is our last week, you're asked to bring cereal. Let us pray. Bless all that we give here today to use for ministry and growth in your loving, peaceful kingdom. May we be examples to others of how to be generous and selfless. Amen.
Hast thou offended that man to judge thee hath in hate pretended by foes derided by thine own rejected? Most afflicted. Who was the guilty? Who brought this upon thee? my treason, Jesus hath undone thee. 'Twas I, Lord Jesus, I it was denied thee. I crucified for me, kind Jesus, was thine incarnation, thy mortal sorrow, and thy life's oblation, thy death of anguish, and thy bitterest passion for my salvation. Therefore, kind Jesus, since I cannot pay thee, I do adore thee, and will ever pray thee. Think on my pity, and thy love unswerving, not my deserving.
Sing the hymn of meditation, In the Garden, number 314.
Thank you. Good morning. I was honored whenever Reverend Mary asked me about a month ago to preach for her so she could go preach at a wedding. So a couple of weeks ago I was sick, but the Spirit worked it out that the lesson from today is also what I taught last week, so that was either a coincidence or for him to send a subtle message not to mess it up. So may we be inspired to be more prayerful as we read today from Mark chapter 9, verses 20 through 29. So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak," he said. "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him up to his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?" Jesus said, "This kind can only be put out by prayer." This is the word of God for the people of God. So as we read our passage, if you've never heard that passage before, it seems pretty hopeless. This boy had been afflicted with an evil spirit from childhood, it says. We don't know how old he is, but he was a boy. And earlier in that same book of Mark, it tells us that these legal experts were arguing with the disciples, and they had been in an uproar over what had caused this, it seems. Back then, they thought that whenever you were sick, it was caused by something that you did or that your parents did, but he was just a child. And it clearly says that it was an evil spirit. Now we, you know that things like that can't be tampered with medicine or anything like that, but they make it very clear in the scriptures that evil spirits were very much prevalent at that time. And whether you believe now that demon possession still exists or not, we could all agree that evil is still very much present in the world today. So this argument again had precipitated. There was a large crowd that had gathered, and Jesus had just come down from the mountain from his transfiguration. So it was a glorious moment for Peter, James, and John to be able to see this, and it had just been this wow experience. And so they come down, and then there's this group of people standing around arguing. And so Jesus walks right in very calmly and says, "What are you arguing about?" And so then they begin to tell him, but the disciples weren't the one that told him. So I think that they were maybe a little bit embarrassed because they hadn't been able to cast out the spirit, so they weren't the first to pop up. The only one who was really invested in this whole situation was the boy's father. And he's the one who we hear from that says that he brought him to Jesus to have the demon cast out, but the disciples weren't able to do it. Isn't there so much bad news in the world today? I mean, everywhere we turn, it's on the news, it's in the paper, you hear about it at work, even in just social conversation, there's always something bad, it seems like. And a lot of times, we may feel like this boy's father, that it's hopeless. But he still wanted to bring him to Jesus, just to see if he could heal him. And our text today is really a wonderful reminder to us for the coming of Easter, because a lot of times we just feel defeated and hopeless, like this boy's dad felt, that all hope is lost. He's been sick for so long, surely it's not going to be a change, but maybe. And Jesus's resurrection shows us that evil has been defeated, and even though we still experience hard times on earth, we know that there is a day when all will be made right. And I really loved studying for this passage today, and I actually read all up through the book where I'm preaching out of today just to kind of see what Mark had been telling us about Jesus' life, and he had performed so many miracles, and yet the disciples still weren't able to get it right so that way they could cast out this spirit. And I think that a lot of times we're like that too. We have the whole book, and we've been able to read about all the wonderful things that Jesus did, all the people he healed, all the miracles, how he forgives, and yet still sometimes we're just lacking that little bit of faith to get us going. And at the end of our passage, they had asked him, once they were alone, and they often did this, once they were by themselves, they would ask Jesus and he would explain to them what had just gone on so that way they could learn some more truths from him while he was still there. And he told them, this kind of spirit can only be cast out with prayer. And so that was the key element that they were missing, was the prayer part. Maybe they did kind of bow their head and, you know, tried to imitate Jesus by, you know, laying their hands on him, and but they still didn't ask for the person who is the source of the power. And I think that we tend to do that a lot of times. I know that I myself am very guilty of that. You know, I have a problem and I think, oh, well, maybe I won't bother him with that one. And even whenever I do, sometimes I kind of fold it up in a little note and kind of scoot it over to him and say, here you go, but oh, here's how I think it should be done. Or here, I'll give you that, but let me take these two items back. So, but prayer is really the key. And we've been having all these wonderful prayers that have been sent to us during the Lenten season in order to be more prayerful as a church. And I've really enjoyed it because it kind of gives me something to go off of. If I don't really know what to say, I can read that and still feel like I'm praying. And what's also interesting about our text today is that the Father, he says, please have mercy on us and heal him if you can. And interestingly enough, he's the only person in Scripture to ask Jesus to have mercy on him. Now, mercy is often a synonym in the Scriptures as compassion. And so we read all the time about Jesus had compassion on him. Jesus had compassion on him. But nobody specifically asks for mercy. And a lot of times I think that we need to be more apt to ask for that mercy because he freely gives it. All these people that had come and sought his help, he didn't say, oh, no, well, I can't help you. He always extended his compassion to them. And the Father, he was so desperate, just hoping against hope, that one day, maybe, just maybe, that his son would be healed. And the disciples hadn't been able to cast it out, so Jesus was really his last hope. And sometimes, again, I think that instead of praying first, we pray when it's our last hope. And I really think that this scripture lesson, at least for me today, really inspired me to go to him in the beginning rather than towards the end, whenever I've exhausted all of my resources. And whenever Jesus says to him, anything is possible to him who believes, he said, I believe, but help my unbelief. So he had a little bit of faith, but he still, it was so hopeless that he just really didn't know if Jesus could fix it. But he wanted to believe. And Jesus' response to him was almost playful, really. It says, if you can, which we read that and think he was being stern, but I think it was really kind of a nudge, like, it's going to be okay. You know, keep hoping and keep believing because it'll work out for you. And I think a lot of times whenever we go through trials, it gets so cloudy and murky, and you just can't see for all the fog and just being weighed down. But God is there, and he wants us to know that it's going to work out in the end. Even if the outcome is not what we had desired, it still is going to work out to be able to be a way to minister to somebody at some point. And the prayer part, again, just really had spoken to me, just because a lot of times, you know, I do kind of forget to pray. And that seems awfully silly, you know, that I come to church all the time and I want to be close to God, and yet a lot of times I don't turn to him as my first go-to. But he wants that so badly in order to have relationship with us. That's what he really craves, is relationship. And again, as we go towards the Easter holiday, I hope that we will all just become more prayerful. Let the Lenten season not be where it stops, but rather these prayers that we've been praying every day, let that just spur us onward and not necessarily have to have guided prayers, and to just, whenever we wake up, to have a prayer on our lips, and whenever we go to bed, to have a prayer on our lips. And I think that that's really what he desires from us. And even though we won't always get it right and we will have bad things still happen even if we pray faithfully, but I think that whenever we go to him in prayer, that those hard times can be much more eased, and that he will show us how that bad situation will turn for good. So I hope that today that you will be encouraged, both in the healing scriptures that we were able to read, and also that we will know that God always wants to walk along beside us. Whenever we are not great in faith, all it takes is a bit of a mustard seed, and that's a tiny seed. That's actually the scripture verse that I came to Christ by hearing. One night there was a message being preached about faith of a mustard seed, and I was about 16, and I realized, I think I have that much, you know, but maybe not more than that. But that's really all that it takes. And whenever we acknowledge that maybe our faith is not quite what it should be, God steps in, and he's able to walk alongside us to help our faith grow. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll have to tell Reverend Mary that you clapped for me. She'll be jealous. If you will, please be standing for our hymn of commitment, page 504. And if any of you would like to join our church in any of the ways we receive members, please come down to the altar out front.
Oh,
Thank you so much for being here this morning. And now please receive this benediction. May you go in the peace of Christ, and may you know that He is there for you always if we will only reach out to Him in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.